This morning I want to talk to you about when God becomes a living God to me. When God becomes a living God to me. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. A wonderful story here of a young man with faith in his God. Just want to read verse 26 and then we're going to go to verse 34. It says, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The living God. Go with me to verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." When God becomes a living God to me. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord, this morning. And I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for the life that is in your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, that when your people come with just a desire in their heart to know God, to know your heart, to have a living encounter with God, Lord, you can breathe such life into your word. You can breathe such life into the scriptures and bring us face to face and heart to heart with God. Lord, I thank you again for the life that is in our relationship, in our walk with God. Lord, when our hearts are truly towards you, Lord, there is such a life, the resurrected life of Jesus. Father, I pray with these truths that you put upon my heart. Lord, I just pray for a clarity of mind. I pray that as I open my mouth, Lord, you would just fill it. And God, your word would just come forth with a clarity, Lord God. Father, I lean upon you today. Lord, I know it's not by might nor by power, but only your spirit can impart eternal truths that will have an eternal impact upon our life. So, Lord, I look to you today. I lean upon you today, Lord. And Father, I ask for your help. Lord, everything that you're doing in our life, through our lives, Lord, we give you glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me just begin by saying that every man or woman of God in the Bible that truly allowed God to be great in their life and to do the impossible through their life, they had a revelation that God was a living God, that God was alive and he was well and that he inhabited the heavens and the earth. And many of them facing the impossible used these words defining God. They use these words, the living God. And it was through this revelation in the heart that their God was a living God that gave them the faith, gave them the courage to believe God in time of impossible, to believe God in to do the impossible in times of impossibility. We see in the Bible that Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 5, preparing the children of Israel to go take the promised land, said it to them, "For who is there of all flesh that have heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have?" Joshua says in Joshua 3:10, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out the Canaanites." And David says again, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Pronouncing judgment upon the nation, Elijah said to King Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years." Beloved, in the light of what these men were facing, they used the term living God. And brothers and sisters, these were not mere words to them. This was a reality that lived in their heart. This was a reality that was in their life. That they knew, that they knew, that they knew that God was a living God, and this living God was with them, walking with them. They knew it. And going back to our text, David in 1 Samuel 17, he knew that he knew that he knew that God was alive and that God was walking with him, that God was with him. That there wasn't a doubt, not one single doubt in his mind. There wasn't one single doubt in his heart that God was with him. And what I really love about David's story is up to this point in David's life, David, as far as we know, up to this point in his life, David never heard the audible voice of God. Magnificent angels never appeared to David. He didn't have great supernatural visions and these kind of things like this. That it wasn't through, you know, great supernatural things that David had this revelation in his life that my God is a living God. And this living God walks with me. In fact, when you look at 1 Samuel 17, and that's what we're going to look at, you see that the revelation that he had, my God is a living God that walks with me. That revelation came to his heart the same way it comes to the life of many believers. David knew that God walked with him, and as he walked with God and experienced God in his life, this revelation to his heart became more and more real, this revelation of the living God. And brothers and sisters, I do know that there are New Testament saints that have heard the audible voice of God. I know there are New Testament saints that have seen angels, and I know there's New Testament saints that has had visions, supernatural visions. I know that, but yet there are many, many who haven't. And yet this revelation in their heart that my God is a living God has got into their heart and came to them as they walked with God and experienced some of the things we're going to look at in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So looking at the life of David, here's the question. How did this great revelation and faith that my God is a living God become so real in David's heart? Well, of course, we know it begins with faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So it simply begins with faith. And I believe with all my heart, it's a faith that the Lord bursts within the heart. That there's a faith that the Lord puts within the heart that says, you know what? I truly know that God is real. That God inhabits the heavens and God inhabits the earth. David simply knew the reality of God in his life by faith. But here's what I'm stressing. As he walked with God and experienced God more and more in his life, this revelation that my God is a living God and he walks with me began to grow in his life. It began to grow in his heart. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see the testimony of how this reality grew in his heart. Listen, before David ever faced Goliath on the battlefield, he knew in his heart that my God is a living God that walks with me. Before he ever faced Goliath on the battlefield, that was a reality in his life. And you see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you see how that revelation got a hold of his heart. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. There are just three truths I want to look at this morning. So how did this great revelation and faith that my God is a living God become so real in David's heart? Well, first of all, by a living word. By a living word. By the living word of God. I want you to look with me at verse 28 and verse 29. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? So David looks at his brother and says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? But this is what I want us to understand. When he says, is there not a cause? That word cause in the Hebrew, that word cause in the original language simply means word. That's what it means. It means word. Whenever the Hebrew word here is debar, and in the book of the prophets, anytime a word came to a prophet, this is the word that was used, the same word for cause. The debar of the Lord came to the prophet Isaiah. The debar of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah. The debar of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Ezekiel. So in other words, when David says, is there not a cause? He's not really saying, is there not a reason to rise up and fight this giant? That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is simply this. Is there not a living word in somebody's heart to inspire somebody's faith to go to the battlefield and face this giant? He's looking around the camp saying, is there not anybody here with a living word from God in your heart that will cause you to believe God for the impossible? That's what David is saying. See, listen, it was a living word in his heart that provoked a living faith to rise up in his heart to believe God for the impossible. That's what you see here. He had the living word of God in his heart. But here's where I feel to go from the Lord. Here's where I feel to take this. Listen, in David's life, where did this living word begin? Where did this living word that produced such a faith in David to stand against Goliath and believe God for the impossible begin? Where did it begin? It began in his devotional life. It began in his devotional life. Beloved, David loved the Lord, and he loved the word of the Lord. And David spent quality time with God in his word, reading the word of God, meditating upon the word of God. David says in Psalm 1, talking about a godly man, David says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the day. Beloved, this is where it begins. Listen, I want to tell you something. When we sit before the Lord, when we love the Lord and we love His Word and we sit before the Lord with His Word, listen, there is such an intimate connection that we make with God in His Word that only His Word can bring. Listen, when you love the Lord and you love His Word and you just sit with God and you begin to just meditate upon the Lord, God will come and He will breathe life into that Word, and there is such a living intimacy with God that you begin to connect to His heart with His Word. Beloved, people that really aren't faithful to read their Bibles and they really not faithful to spend time with God in their Word, they really have no idea the life that is in this book. They really have no idea of the intimacy with God that we have with the Lord in His Word. Brothers and sisters, this faith, listen, this faith that you see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, to believe God for the impossible, to believe God for the slaying of this giant. Where did it come from? It originated in the fields. It originated in the fields along with God, along with His Word, saying, Lord, I just love You. I want to know Your heart. And God, as I just read Your Word and meditate upon Your Word, Lord, show me Your heart. That's where it began, in his devotional life with God. Every day, sitting with God, reading His Word, and experiencing the life and the intimacy with God in His Word. That's where it began. In 1 Samuel 17, this living faith in David's life, to stand and believe God for the impossible, started out in the fields, loving God, and reading His Word, and experiencing the life in His Word. And then secondly, see, when you're drawing life out of His Word, and the Lord is really causing faith to grow, the Lord is preparing us to take us somewhere that has everything to do with understanding the reality of God. God is truly alive and He walks with me. Secondly, how did this great revelation in faith, that my God is a living God, become so real to David's heart? By a living anointing. What I mean by this, this living word of God in David's heart put a living faith in David's heart to believe God for the absolute impossible. You see, David was in the field. We read the story. He was in the field keeping his father's flock. And suddenly there is a lion and a bear that comes. And in faith in his God, not in a faith in himself, there's a faith that rises up in his heart to believe God through him to perform the impossible. Listen, David knew in his own strength he couldn't slay a lion. He knew in his own strength he couldn't slay a bear. But the living word that came to his heart in times of devotion with the Lord in the field began to put a living faith in his heart and his God. And he began to rise up. And this is what I want us to understand. It was the faith in his heart that caused him to rise up. It was the anointing upon his life that caused him to kill the bear and the lion. was the anointing upon his life that empowered him to do the impossible. I want you to look with this. Look with me at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." So we see in verse 13, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon David's life. And it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that empowered David to kill the lion and the bear. We have to see this. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that caused David, empowered David to slay the lion and the bear. Now here's my point. When we have such a love for God and His Word, and we are drawing life out of the Word, there will be times God will call us to do the absolute impossible. And as we step out in faith and obedience, even though we know it's impossible for us, when we step out in faith and obedience, God then places an anointing upon our life that empowers us to do the absolute impossible. Empowers us to do what we know in our own strength. We cannot do this. Amen. The Lord puts that faith in your heart through His Word, and then He says, now I want you to start walking in the impossible. Doing the impossible, doing something that you know you can't do. And then when you see me do it through you, you're going to have such a revelation of the miracle that's behind it. Only God can do this. Now let me just really bring this point home. Let me just give you an example. Last year when I went home on vacation, I went out with a friend of mine, and we were just talking, and we began to talk about just the adoption of my son. Me and my wife a few years ago adopted a son, and we were just talking about that. And as we were talking, he said, "Tim, you know, me and my wife, we can't have children. We'd like to have children, but we can't have children, and we would like to adopt, but I've gotten too old for that, and I know I can't handle it. I know I can't handle it." And this isn't a story about going out and adopting. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. When he said that, the Spirit of the Lord really stirred my heart and really gripped my heart. And I really know in my heart, I begin to speak by the Spirit to him. And this is what I said. I wrote it down, so I just want to read it to you so I won't mess it up. This is what I said. I said, "John, if you always limit yourself to your strength, you will never see God do miracles through your life. We have to be open to the Lord to tell us to do things that we know that are in our own strength is absolutely impossible to do. But when we obey, we then see God's strength in our lives and we know the miracle behind it. When God calls us to do something that we know is absolutely impossible for us to do and we step out and obey, God puts a divine anointing upon our lives that enable and empower us to do what He's called us to do, no matter how impossible it is. John, I'm not telling you that God is calling you to adopt, but I am telling you if you want to see Him work miracles through your life, then you need to expect Him to call you to do something you know in your own strength is absolutely impossible. You need to expect that." So here's the question that I'd like to ask each one of you and ask myself from the Lord. When is the last time you saw God do an absolute miracle through your life? I didn't say in your life, because we know God is always working in our hearts. I didn't say in your life. I said, when's the last time you saw God do an absolute miracle through your life? Well, some people would say, well, it's probably been years. Well, is it because you are limiting yourself to your strength and ability and you're not open to let God take you beyond your strength and abilities? Is that the reason? Is that the reason why it's been so long we've seen God do an absolute miracle through our life? Not in our life, He's always working, but through our life. Is it because somehow we've fallen right back into that rut where I'm only looking at what my strength can do and my abilities can do, and we're really not open for the Lord to say, you know what, I'm calling you to go past your strength and abilities. I'm calling you to do something you know is absolutely impossible. Amen. That's where this living faith in this Word will take you. A place where it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's only by the Spirit of God you can do some things that God is calling you to do. But I'm telling you, when you start stepping out in faith saying, I know I can't do this, but God has called me to do this. And we start stepping out in faith and walking in faith, then we begin to see God doing through our lives what only God can do. And then we get a revelation, my God is a living God that walks with me. Now I really want to bring this out because I say this a lot. God anoints obedience. Don't I say that a lot, first years? God anoints obedience. He uses our giftings and our talents and our abilities, but that's not what brings His anointing. I know people that are gifted to speak. I mean, they really have a gift. I know worship leaders that are really gifted to lead worship. But some reason, when they do it, there's no anointing there. Even though they have the gift. And a lot of times, the reason why there's no anointing there is because there's disobedience in that life somewhere. God anoints obedience. And I want us to see before we move on that David was a very submissive and obedient son. Go with me to 1 Samuel 17 again. Look with me at verse 15. It says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Brothers and sisters, when you really look at that verse, it's very simple, but when you really look at that verse, we see that David was obedient to his father by diligently keeping his father's sheep. He was obedient. Look with me at verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now of thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. Look at verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went. And just as Jesse had commanded him, I'm emphasizing commanded him. What is that? That's obedience. In other words, David honored his father with a life of obedience. Look with me at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. Let's just stop there. Again, I'm emphasizing thy servant kept his father's sheep. He was obedient to his father to diligently keep and protect the sheep. Now let's finish the verse. And David said, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him. And what I want us to realize simply here is it was while David was in the place of obedience, the anointing of God came upon his life to do the impossible. The anointing follows obedience. Now let me just sum this up before we move on. This great revelation that my God is a living God just doesn't come from reading His living word. God adds something to it that's very vital. The opportunity to see Him do the impossible in and through our lives. When we have a life in the word and this word is causing our faith to grow, there will be times God will say, I am now calling you to do something that is absolutely impossible for you to do and you need to trust me. I want you to do what you know in your own strength is absolutely impossible. Stand in faith and you will see the glory of God. Stand in faith and you will see God do what only God can do in your life. Amen. A living word that leads you to times of impossibility where there comes a living anointing to do what only God can do. Now thirdly, how did this great revelation in faith, my God is a living God, become so real to David's heart? By a living testimony. Look with me at verse 33 through 37. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go fight this Philistine, to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, listen. Before David ever went to the battlefield, he had a living testimony in his heart. Before he ever went to the battlefield, he already saw God do the impossible in his life. He already had such a living revelation that my God is a living God, because he's already done things through my life that are absolutely impossible for me to do. Look, Saul, you see how frail my hands are. You see how small my hands are. Do you think these hands could have killed a lion and a bear? No, but God has already done the impossible. I know the impossible in my life. A living testimony. Because he trusted the Lord. And I love to ask this question. I ask it every time I read 1 Samuel 17 because I love the answer. When you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, what was the weapon that slayed the giant? Some would say faith, some would say a rock, some would say a stone, some would say truth. Let me tell you what it was. What was the weapon that slayed the giant? It was the power of his testimony. That's what slayed the giant. How do I know, Saul, I can go against Goliath? Because I already have a testimony with God. There was a lion that came and I got him in a bear hug and choked him to death. Then there was a bear that came and I got him in a lion hug and choked him to death. And the same God that gave the lion and the bear, he is my living God. I know he is, because I've already seen him do the impossible. And I know he can give me this lion. I know he can give me this giant. He had a living testimony in his heart. Because he was a man of the word, he had a living faith. And then he didn't back off when God called him to do the impossible. I believe with all my heart it was the Spirit of God that drew that lion and bear there, because God knew one day you're going to need that testimony to stand against a man named Goliath. So I need to start putting a testimony in your heart now. And I believe there was a lion out in the field, and the Spirit of God came upon the lion and said, you know, there's sheep over there, there's food over there, why don't you go slay one of the little sheep and eat it? So the lion begins to roam over there, and then God says to David, David, here's a lion trying to slay one of your sheep, and the faith rises up in his heart. He slays the lion, and now he has a testimony of what only God can do. When is the last time we answered that call from the Lord? Let's do the impossible. Let's do something that only God can do. Because you'll never really know I am a living God that walks with my people until you truly begin to see God do through your life what only God can do. Amen. That living word, that living faith will always take you to that place. Now, I really feel from the Lord to end the message this way. Just in giving people a personal challenge today. I mean, you really want a revelation in your heart? You really want a revelation in your heart that my God is a living God that walks with me. Well, I got a couple of challenges for you today. First of all, every follower of Christ should have a daily devotional life with God. Every day of our life, we should go into that secret place and spend time with God in His Word. Making that intimate connection with the heart of God in His Word. Listen, we can't ever expect God to really start doing miracles through our life if we don't have a devotional life in His Word. You can't begin with the miracles. You have to begin with the devotional life. You have to begin with, God, I love you with all my heart. I want to know you, and I'm faithful. I'm faithful every day to come to this book and just to seek your heart. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. Listen, for some of us, it might require, to have that devotional life, it might require a change in our life. For some of us, it might require us getting up earlier in the morning, before work or before whatever, and really spending that time in the presence of the Lord praying. Seeking Him in His Word. For others, it might require us putting away distractions like television. You know, if I'm going to be a man that seeks God and stays in His Word, I can't sit in front of the television all day. There has to be a time I turn the television off. I turn the cell phone off. I go to that secret place. I open up this book and I begin to pray. God, I want to know you. But I'm telling you, if you really want a revelation, if you really want that intimate connection with the heart of God, I'm telling you, the rewards are so worth it. Because when you set your heart to seek God in this book, He will supernaturally breathe life into this book and bring you heart to heart and face to face with God. I want to encourage you today, if you don't have a devotional life with God where every single day you are going and sitting in His presence, in His Word, that is my challenge to you today. Get a devotional life. Because that's where this great faith comes from. Get a devotional life. Pastor Tim, my flesh doesn't always feel like praying. I'm going to tell you something. Being a seeker of God has nothing to do with your feelings. Has everything to do with commitment. Because I love Him, I'm committed to seeking Him. If I was to follow the dictates of my flesh, I would be sitting in front of the television, stuffing my face with popcorn every day, every morning, every night, just appeasing this flesh. That's what my flesh wants to do. But there's something greater in me than the strength of this flesh, and it's the grace of God in my life. And there's something in me that says, I want to know God. I want to walk with God. I want to every day. I want some kind of revelation of His heart. And that's where you find the grace to tell this flesh, you're not in control. My desire for God is in control. And I'm going to seek Him. So my challenge to someone this morning is, if you don't have a daily devotional life, get one. You'll be so surprised at how God will meet you. And how alive this book will come. And I want to challenge the students here today. Listen, you're about to go home for the summer. And you're going to have this world and all of its entertainment pulling on you. I'm just speaking truth from my heart. But in this school, you've got a devotional life with God. You're seeking after the Lord. And when you go home for the summer, you cleave to the grace of God and say, this world is not stealing my devotional life. I'm not going to come back with this testimony. I wasted my summer in front of the television. No. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things. But don't let it take your devotional life. Walk in that devotional life. Seek God every day. Amen. Now, secondly, my second charge is, believe God to enable you to do the impossible. Believe Him. Listen, if God is deep down in your heart, if you know God is calling you to do something, and you know it's God, you will always know when it's God. God will have His presence, His peace, His Word will confirm it. If you know deep down in your heart, God is calling you to do something that's absolutely impossible for you to do, trust Him. Step out in faith and believe Him. Yeah, you can't do it. It's impossible. But God will do it through you. Brothers and sisters, I learned something. Hear me. The revelation that God is truly alive and He's with me comes through faith and trust and obedience. We will never truly have that revelation in our heart, God is alive and with me, until we start trusting and obeying. I want to end with a scripture. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 11 and 12. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, you really have to look at that verse. What did the Lord just tell Moses? This is what He told him. Moses, after you do what deep in your heart you know I told you to do, then you will see me perform the impossible. And then you will know for certainty God is with me. Moses, deep in your heart, you know I'm calling you to do this. And when you obey me and bring the people out of their Egyptian bondage and you see the empire of Pharaoh fall and the people are serving me around this mountain, then you are going to know for a certainty God is with me. And beloved, I want to say this. Until we start stepping out in faith and obeying what the Lord is telling us to do, the scripture, God is with me, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. It'll always be here. But it'll never be here. Never be a reality here. Let me just share with you a little story. I want to end it with this story. You know, when I graduated from Mount Zion, the Bible school here, they asked me to stay on as a teacher. And I want to tell you something. There was a fear that just gripped my heart. Really gripped my heart. And I went home for a few weeks and I began to pray. And my prayer was something like this. How do I know, Lord, you're really going to be with me? God, you know the fear I have of people. You know when I open my mouth around people, I choke and I stutter. God, how do I know you're going to be with me, God? And there was a day I was just struggling with that question, and I was in my car, and I passed by a park. And God said, Tim, I want you to turn around, drive your car into the park, turn the ignition off, and just sit before me. I have something I want to say. So I turned the car around, I went by, I was going to the park, and when I got close to the park, I said, you know what, I'm not going to go. So I just drove right back past the park. The Lord spoke to my heart again. He said, Tim, turn around, go to the park, cut the car off, and sit before me. So I turned the car around. I was headed toward the park. When I was getting close to the park, I said, no, I'm not going to go. This is probably me. So I passed the entranceway into the park, and God said, Tim, turn around, drive into the park, cut the ignition off, and wait upon me. So the third time I obeyed, I drove into the park. I cut the car off. I closed my eyes and I said, oh God, if I go and teach at this Bible school, how do I know you're going to be with me? And I opened my eyes, and across the street was this great big billboard. You know the billboards by the side of the road. And you know what the billboard said? It said, this is what it said. It said, if you don't go, you will never know. The Lord was saying, Tim, this is what he was saying. If you don't step out in faith and obedience and obey what you know deep in your heart I'm telling you to do, this revelation that God is with me, it will always be here, but it will never get here. It will just be scriptures that you just read. But if you will just trust me and obey me, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. It's not going to be an easy road, but you're going to see the glory of God. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That sign, that's been over about 10 years ago, that sign is still up there today. And every time I go home on vacation, I go park my car in that park and I look at that sign and I thank God in my heart. God, thank you for calling me to trust and obey you. Because if I hadn't trusted you and I hadn't obeyed you, I would never know what you could have done in my life. What you could have done through my life. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is, if you know God is calling you to do something that's impossible, and deep in your heart you know it's the Lord, I'm challenging you to trust and obey Him. Because when you do, you will see Him do the absolute impossible through your life, and then you will know that you know that you know, my God is alive, and He walks with me. Amen. Stand with me this morning.